أعوذ بالله من الشيطان العين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين بالقاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات على محمد وآل محمد I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who deserves all praise, who creates everything magnificently, who perfects everything, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَصَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى and gives it its intended energy and takes it to its goal. All praise belongs to Him because He created the universe in truth. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ There is nothing more dear to our existence than knowing that truth exists. It is something many of us don't like because we try to negate it. And the only reason we negate it is because we do not worship Allah. Any worshipper of Allah submits only to the truth. Otherwise, there is a problem with the individual faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hujurat, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا The Arab dwellers say, we believe. Allah says, no. Say, we submit. Because faith, after you submit, when it enters you, then it will be a different matter. Allah says, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَذَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ Say, truth is ever prevalent and false is ever vanishing. People who live lives of fantasy, who belie, who cheat, who cause societies to go astray, are going to be the recipients of the fire of hell. It is the condition, the direct order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that anybody who lies and belies deserves to be punished. Because a liar is someone who creates trouble. A liar is someone who rejects Allah. It's that simple. Allah is most worthy of praise for having shown us the truth. Knowing the truth is not a difficult matter, my brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ayatul Kursi, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ لَا إِكْرَهَ فِي الدِّينِ There is no compulsion in religion. لا إكراه في الدين. قد decreed بلا شك for sure. قد تبين الرشد من الغي. Truth is clear from error. فمن يكفر بالتاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها. والله سميع عليم. Truth is clear from error. If you reject the taghut, meaning anything other than Allah, as your master, as your overlord, meaning my own self, my desire, the idols, anything other than Allah's submission is what we call taghut. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالتَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ And you believe in Allah, submit to Him. وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ Now you're holding on to a rope firm. Allah says, لَمْ فِي السَّامَ لَهَا And it doesn't break. This rope does not break. Wallahu sami'un alim. Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. This is our world, my brothers and sisters. We can talk all we want till we turn blue. We can fantasize all we want. We can amass all the wealth we want. We can build as many palaces as we want and consider ourselves to be authority. But ultimately it will crumble. Allah says, go, see how Fir'aun walked this earth. Fir'aun, the ardent enemy of Allah, the most mentioned personality by name in the Quran is Fir'aun. Fir'aun, what happens to him today? Ask any modern personality, who is Fir'aun? What happened to him? Fir'aun is gone, dust. But he is being preserved in that dust to be shown to the world that this was the man who called himself God. Look at him. How about Saddam, who was removed recently? How many palaces did he have? How many tunnels did he build under his palaces? What did he think? He was going to live forever? What was his mission? His mission was to silence the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who love Ahlul Bayt, the ones who love Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, are the ones who need to be silenced in this world. Go around and listen. Put your ears in the media and see who is being silenced. The truth is dangerous in this world that we live in today. Because it has created a complex web of lies that we all need to succumb under. But the beauty of Allah's message in the religion of Islam is that it will break and shatter anything you put in front of it. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَذَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. This is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah has given us, that we as believers need to look deep into ourselves, that the greatest truth, my brothers and sisters, is not all these political discussions and leaders such as those who come and they fly and they fade away. The greatest truth is the one who looks at his own heart and his soul and says, do I submit to Allah sincerely or do I fabricate lies and have others fabricate lies with me to fulfill my ulterior motives and obligations out of jahalat and not out of sincerity and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is at the core of all discussions in these subsequent nights and for the rest of humanity. Always we are going to be faced with this problem. Am I sincerely approaching the truth? Am I? And bear in mind that the minute you do, it's going to shake establishments. It will shake establishments. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. We guarantee you with a clear victory, because if you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, إِنْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. When Allah helps you, who can defeat you? إِنْ يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. No one, then no one can defeat you. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. And if he doesn't help you, who else is there to help you? Who? Now one might say, everybody thinks of the same thing, that they think, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Every army fights for his own cause, thinking that he is right. No problem. It's a free world. Choose what you want. But be sincere in your choices. And be equitable and just. And bring the truth to the front lines as it should be. If we're going to be constantly putting the truth under the carpet, then let's not put on a facade for ourselves into thinking that we are some religious submitting beings on earth, that we need to go out and proselytize people to become Muslims, when we ourselves do not submit ourselves sincerely. Fi sabilillah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The message of Karbala today is a very sad night. Tonight, very sad. It is the night in which the shahada of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam has taken place. This shahada is of the highest order, Sayyidush Shuhada. Hazrat Hamza preceded him in this title. Imam Hussein takes this title. It is his now. As our messenger predicted, said it clearly, that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam is the Sayyidush Shuhada. He says, Hussein, numinni wa ana min al Hussein. What an honor that the messenger says, Hussein is from me and I am from him. Min shajaratin wahid. We come from one tree. These are not people that we can just dilly-dally and put them in there and, you know, kind of fan them up and make them look good. We don't need to. We don't need to. I tell you, you put carpets over them, their noor will glow right through it. You put mud over them, their noor will glow right through it. Subhanallah. It doesn't take much to see that. We need to submit Allah's message. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. It is clear that you have been obligated, O you believers, that you submit to none other than Allah and His Messenger. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Who are these? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Who are the believers? That the ones who believe in Allah and His Messenger. The Messenger is at the core of these discussions. When we bring Imam Hussein on the front lines, when we bring Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam on the front lines, when we bring any of our Imams, when we bring any of the companions to the front lines, we are speaking about the Messenger. He is at the core of our discussion. He is at the core of our Iman. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory for anyone who wants to believe in the truth that he submits to Allah and His Messenger who He has appointed. Salawat ala Muhammad. We love our Imams because they take us to our Prophet perfectly. To the target. Not around him. To him. To him. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, you claim to love Allah? Then obey the Messenger. No one else. Every discussion needs to go back to the Messenger, and we need to ask, what does my Messenger want from me? Nobody else has any right to supersede that. The Messenger of Allah is at the core of Islam. Every Muslim's shahada is on the line on the day of judgment, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you, did you bear allegiance to this Messenger who I personally sent to you, who I perfected, who I purified, who I taught him the best manners? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. He is the best example for you. Did you follow him? Because he is for you. And you have no argument on the day of judgment to supplant him with any personality. No personality supplants our Messenger. No personality. The entire Quran is hinging in this fact. The irony and the fact is that our Messenger sometimes becomes second-class citizen. That's the problem we have. To the believer, me, when I say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, if I see myself as important, then this shahada is getting a problem. If I do not keep up my salah and I do not pray when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to submit to Him, then I'm more important than my Lord. Then my shahada has got a problem. I'm hinging on shirk. Hazrat Luqman says to his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. O my son, do not associate anyone with Allah. This is a grievous act. Why? Because when you associate someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your whole characteristic will become false. You will become false. You will take a little truth. Bear in mind, my brothers and sisters, there is no person on earth who is 100% false. 100% false cannot exist. I've mentioned this in my lectures before. It's always got a little truth in it. It has to. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense to you and me. It has to have some level of truth. But it is the combination of false and truth that a person presents himself with is where the problem is. See, you can never be 100% false. You can never be 100% liar. Impossible. Impossible. No such thing exists. Even Iblis is not 100% liar. He mixes it. This admixture is what creates problems. It confuses us. And we need clear guidelines from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when Allah tells me, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ, how come there are so many religions in this world? How come there are so many varieties of perspectives in this world? Which one is the truth? Allah, Allah, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the answer to that question is right in my soul. No one needs to go too far. Ask even that child who's raised a Hindu, that when he enters that temple and he knows something's wrong with this idol worship, he or she is the closest to the truth. He says, something's wrong. People who've come in the ways of our messenger, take Salman al-Farsi. Salman Farsi had not met our messenger before as a young man. His father was a fire worshipper, Zoroastrian. In fact, his father was a wealthy man in Persia. Salman's heart was already with the truth, a pure believer. He says, I can never bow to this. This just doesn't make sense to me. How does a person like that know? What did he go through? Formal training? Did lightning strike his head? No, no, no. It's just a matter of sincerely looking at yourself and says, I just cannot submit to this. What is beautiful in our society today with our new generation, a lot of our young brothers and sisters, is they are in the same pattern. Just like the old generations were. The difference was in the older generation, you were not allowed to question. You had to submit and follow and conform. In the newer generations, you challenge. This challenging capacity is healthy. It's good. When someone challenges, he says, I want to know the reason why. That gives him the impetus and the reason to stand up and fight for truth, even if it means changing my own self. This is the beauty of that positive projection of a human being who comes towards the truth and submits. My ode to those who've become Muslims from varying different other religions that have come. They've taken difficult pathways, no doubt. The difficulty was not in accepting Islam. The difficulty was in society allowing them to accept Islam. This is where the difficulty lies. When a human being knows the truth, for him to submit is not a difficult task. For him to submit subject to his social environment is where the difficulty comes. So we create the trouble for others, forcing them not to take the truth. That's how the system works. This system also has a mercy in it. For those who are ignorant or very shallow-minded, who happen to be in the right religion, is also a good means to protect them from leaving it. Thus, when someone comes and tries to encourage you not to move forward into a different ideology, it also has its benefits. But ultimate goal for you and I is to submit to the truth. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for. Salman struggled. His father told him, I'll kill you if you don't worship this fire. He said, I will not. Look at the iman of a man, young boy, his father. Telling him, I'll imprison you. He imprisons him, puts him in jail. Imagine his own son. Look at the faith coming in the way. Salman says, no, I will not submit to this. His maid who raised him broke the lock and he is freed. Salman leaves his town and joins a monastery and he becomes a monk, a Christian monk. But the kind of Christianity he practiced was not the one where Isa alayhi salam was deified as the Son of God. He didn't accept that. And Salman followed that pathway for 10 years. He says, something's missing here. And he went in search for that fruit. His soul is telling him, soul searching, it's got to be somewhere. I need to find it. And Allah puts him in a beautiful relationship with suffering. He suffers as a slave. Taken as a slave, struggles for 13 years in Medina, he suffers. He suffers while a messenger is suffering in Mecca, he's suffering in Medina. And he says, when the messenger came to Medina, he says, when I approached the tent and I saw the light emanating from that tent, I knew I had reached my destiny. I had reached my destiny. When I walked in, I had reached my destiny. I had found the one I was missing. Subhanallah. That Salman was so elevated in status, his iman was of such high caliber that our messenger calls him Salman minna Ahlul Bayt. Salman is like Ahlul Bayt. To that level, when Jibreel used to reveal verses, first Allah sends salams to Salman al-Farsi, and then the verses are revealed. This was a common practice of Jibreel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salam to Salman. Salman was a character as an example to show you that when you seek the truth, it is simple, it is clear, but the clarity is sincerity. If we sincerely search, even those who are reverts who come to Islam in different ways, they go into different schools, as long as they're sincere, they will find their goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not deny any sincere seeker for the truth. Never. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees that. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We need to search, we need to accept it, we need to follow, my brothers. I'm being philosophical here, but on a practical level, my brothers and sisters, we live in the Western world where there are many attractions and distractions. We need to take an assessment and say, Allah has made this world beautiful for me to enjoy. We must enjoy it. There's nothing wrong in enjoying it, but do it with truth. Enjoy it fi sabilillah. When you go to the beach, if you do, observe the laws of Allah. If there's going to be a violation of Allah's laws, back off. Don't go. If you're going to go to a place with your friends, if there's any violations of Allah, don't go. Purifying and keeping away from haram things is a great act for a believer. Great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. He sent this messenger from among yourselves. What did he do? He showed you the signs. He showed you, look. Look at this great universe Allah has made you. Look at you. Look at that dead person. Look at that infant. Look at yourself. Look at the beauty. Look at all the miracles around you. Ayati. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Purified you. Took the haram away from you. Said, keep away from alcohol. Keep away from drugs. Keep away from illicit sexual behavior. Keep away from looking at the opposite gender. Keep away from doing haram things which Allah has forbidden. It is for your own good. It is for your own good. Be willing to submit. The overall effect is good for you. It's good for you. When you abstain from something, at the moment of abstinence, it feels difficult. But after you've done it, Allah rewards you with so much tranquility and puts nur into your face and puts nur in your heart and guides you. He says, this creature of mine who I created has free will to disobey me, but he has chosen to keep away from it, and therefore he deserves to be rewarded. This person moves in this pathway and finally reaches his high goals, as we call nafs al-mutma'inna, where his soul becomes so much in tranquility that Allah calls him back. Come back. You have won this exam. You have taken the truth. And the truth of the matter is, we need to submit in the truth. But when we do the halal and the haram, we must question the integrity of where our halal and haram is coming from. Even on a fundamental level, I need to know my Lord and His messengers and the imams and the kitab. I need to understand even the basics of Islam. My brothers and sisters, all of us owe it to ourselves at least to be able to understand our own iman, that if a non-Muslim asks you a question about our religion, we should have enough vocabulary to be able to reply them. If we cannot do that, then living in this society becomes a problem for us. When we live in a Western society, let us at least arm ourselves with the right lingo and the ability to at least have a conversation where if a Christian was to ask you, you can tell them with kind words what a Muslim is about. Besides the fact that the greatest statement we can make is our action. When our youths, young brothers and sisters, walk out on the streets, let's not be wild people. Let's be gentle. Let's be kind, let's be generous, let's be honest with each other and with the rest of society. That is the greatest ode to a believer, because our imams, the reason we mention them all the time when we praise them is because they are the extraction of our messenger's actions. They are the exemplification of what our messenger represented. Our messenger said, he says, oh Ali, my brother, I will suffer to reveal the message to these people, to the people. You will suffer to explain it to them. Because that is your duty. That is why you are Bab. Ana Madinatul Ilm wa Aliyun Babuha. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It is sad that we live in a world where speaking the truth hurts. Sometimes it hurts with bombs. That the lovers of Ahlul Bayt who congregate at the shrines of our blessed imams, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed their names to be elevated. فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ. Allah says in Surah An-Nur, verse number 36-37. He says, in houses which Allah has allowed to be exalted, His name has been allowed to be exalted through them. That we go, when you go to this haram, it revives the spirit of truth. It's not idol worship. It's not paganism, as some people perpetrate it to be. It is following the sunnah of our blessed messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That when we stand up and we go to them, it is because they purify and show us the true religion from false. But people don't like that. They accuse, and they can't play fair. They know that the truth is going to spread too fast. I give you the analogy, my brothers and sisters. Go and try to ask Fox Network or the satellite news that you have here. And tell them, we want to tell the world about the atrocities of the, for example, Sharon in Israel. Try it. They won't let you speak for 1 second, let alone approach the media place. Why? Are we supposed to be a free country? Are we supposed to have freedom of speech? No. Freedom of speech is controlled, you see. It's got an angle to it. It is a conforming kind of freedom of speech. We know that. It's not a secret. The world knows it. Ask anybody who has got any common sense in him. He says, yes, of course we know that. Why? Aren't we a civilized society? Are we supposed to be talking about the truth? Isn't the truth the most important thing? After all, when Clinton was caught red-handed in what he was doing, when he went in front of the grand jury, the biggest problem was he lied in front of the grand jury. So if lying is a big problem, then let's be truthful. Go ahead. No, not that truth. Because it is pervasive truth. It takes over, you see. So you got to malign it. Put it down. Smear it. Give Islam the short end of the stick. Make it look like a terrorist religion. Take a verse out of context from the Quran, place it in front of the front page, and tell them, look at this religion telling people to go and do jihad. Jihad, that's it. You see, all the time these people just want to kill each other. Is that Islam? Never in my life as a Muslim did I ever conceive Islam was that. Whereas Islam tells me, go out and be just and equitable to all. Give everybody their freedom. Give everybody their right. But do it with a moral conscience. No. Not allowed. So we all feel that pressure. Well, the pressure on a spiritual, theological level is also there. Don't say too much. You're shaking the boat. It's not good. Then what am I doing this for? Why are we crying for Imam Hussein? He could have also played a little in-between game. He could have said, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll, you know, do something under the table with Yazid. Can I, Imam, do that? Can he? Our Imam? The one who purifies, the one who is what we call the Furqan, where grey comes in front of him, he sifts it black and white. Can he? Can he be a chameleon? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. All this political talk, and all the deaths that take place, and all the births that take place, sure, it's got its bleeps on the radar screen, but ultimately it doesn't matter. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best of you is the one who is pious. The one who submits to Allah. Whether in the times of trials and tribulations, or you are given a lot of power and wealth, it doesn't matter. Allah says, your trial is on. You are going to be held accountable on the day of judgment about how equitable you were. No problem. I want to lie to myself. I want to cheat the world. I am the loser. Me. I am the one who's going to be damned. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah said, these same people, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. They will admit to their lies and to their cheating and to their evil ways. Allah says, furthest away is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty of remembering Ahlul Bayt and going to their shrines and remembering is it makes our hearts soft. It makes us cry for the truth. It makes us want to have freedom. It makes us want to have justice and tranquility on earth for all of humanity. This is why we love our imams. And that is why
why we go to the shrines of our blessed imams, to go and cry because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Going to the shrines is one aspect, the sign of a believer. My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned before, is salah. We have a responsibility as Muslims to uphold salah. Anyone who says he loves Ahlul Bayt and he takes his prayers lightly is not honest and truthful to his statement. You can't say that I love them and then just leave them alone. Then they're not important. You and I, my souls, are more important than they are. And that's not true. A true believer says, I look at the example of my imam, that on the battlefield he lost half his army. Abu Thamama is standing there and arrows are coming at him. Arrows are coming at him. Zuhair ibn Qayn is on the other side and arrows are coming at him. Severely injured. They say Zuhair ibn Qayn got so many arrows because every time the arrow was coming, he was putting his body in front of it to make sure that the blessed imam would not get hit. How many of you and I can do that? That when an arrow is coming towards you and me, that I would put my body in front of it. They say arrows would pierce their eyes. Can you imagine that? These are not small little pins, you know. These are huge things coming in. They literally lodge right into your head. They make you go mad right there, instantly. But these people were of faith. Of such strong faith, they didn't care. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, نَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. You're going to have an example for you too. That today when I live in this society, where the world is lying, where our situations can be difficult, where our lives can be put on the line, where we take consolation in looking at these people. These people in Karbala and say, they gave their lives and they gave their souls. To that degree that no one can equal them in their sacrifice for the truth, then I take consolation that let me look at them as the examples. When I look at the companions like Ammar ibn Yasir, who became a believer and he had to witness his mother being stabbed in front of him. How many of us can endure that after having taken the religion of Islam, that your mother gets killed because of your faith, and then your father is also killed because of your faith? You would abandon that religion, logically speaking. That this person would go mad, you'd say, because of this religion. But no, the faith of Ammar was rock solid, that our messenger tells him, oh Ammar, you and your parents have been guaranteed paradise. Guaranteed paradise. When I look at people like Ammar, up to the age of 93, he meets Imam Ali in Siffin when he was fighting against Muawiyah. And Ammar was on the side of Imam Ali. And our messenger says, oh Ammar, the disbelievers will kill you. What did the messenger say? The disbelievers will kill you. Ammar stands in Safin and he looks at the army of Muawiyah. He says, just yesterday I remember that flag when we had the fight in Badr. You on the other side have not changed. You are just like the kuffar, the mushrikeen that came in Badr. This is how bad it was. Imam Ali is the Khalifa at the time. Imagine! Ammar is standing there and the messenger said to all, he says, all of you note, that the disbelievers will kill Ammar. Ammar will be on the side of Haqq. You want to know what is Haqq? You want to know? When people came and asked Imam Ali, Imam Ali says, go to Ammar, he'll tell you. He says, Ali ma'al Haqq, wa Haqq ma'al Ali. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So when Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is in Siffin, what is his symbol? Salah. I tell you, the modern Sufis and all those Gnostics who get into trances about prayers, when you look at them, you look at their roots, you'll find they all go back to Imam Ali, because they were so in awe of this man's ibadah that there was no one like him. They went wrong, of course, in their interpretation, some of them. But what you find is that when Imam Ali went into sujood and into ruku, and when he was in salah, he was in perfect communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Communication. This is a man, an abid, who's representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the gate of the knowledge of the Holy Prophet. We love them. We love them dearly. The world may hate sometimes that we love them. No problem. Because Imam Ali is the Furqan. He's going to decide haqq and batil. Jabir bin Abdul al-Ansari says, we tested our children on the basis of the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib. We knew that anyone who hated Ali ibn Abi Talib would be a munafiq, and anyone who loved him would be a believer. He says, I tested my own children on the basis of whether my children will be good, and how much they love this man. Why? You might say, well, isn't it the messenger? Because he is the representative of the messenger. The problem is, people have a problem with that. No problem. We'll take it further. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this salah, our symbol, our imams, our prophets, maintain salah. My brothers and sisters, this is a great, great event. Tonight, I won't get into the details, but you know that salah is an injunction. The 5 daily prayers are a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the least a human being can do. Tonight, on this very important night, a night of tragedy, when our women in Karbala, 1400 years ago, are now being taken from their tents. They are being attacked. Because the men have become shaheed. Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam has been martyred. They say 40 soldiers on horses came after Imam was killed and his head was severed, his blessed head was severed. They say horses came and trampled on his body. This is what Ibn Ziyad wanted. This is what Shimr wanted. This is what Umar ibn Sa'd wanted. Because when you become a beast, then there is no end to it. You've killed him. You've killed the messenger's son. You've killed him. Not enough. Step on him. So our Imam's body is completely destroyed. The horses came. I can't even think about that. Sometimes when I speak about it, I'm ashamed of this. But we need to tell the world what happened. We need to tell them. We must tell them. Because this is the truth. So you find that after our blessed Imam became shaheed, and all the heads of the shuhada were picked up, Imam buried them, a few of the little infant child, they came and dug it up and took the body out and removed their heads as prize to take it back to their master, supposed master. And now they started coming and attacking the tent. Allahu Akbar. Tonight is the Shami Ghariba, they say, the night of the yatim. Tonight is a night of orphans. And the enemies come, and now they're happy. The men are not there to protect them, and now they're going to loot. And you can imagine the terror in the eyes of the women and the children. Allahu Akbar. I cannot empathize, impossible. But they're inside this tent, no one's coming out, and they're circling the outside, taking their swords and poking inside the tents. Can you imagine? That you can't even stand at the edge of the tent because the enemy is poking with pleasure. They say, they're telling the women, come out. And the women would not come out. So they started placing fire around the tents. And all the tents started burning. The tents started burning and the women started running out in disarray, screaming everywhere. Thirsty children running in disarray. The world is happening today too, my brothers. In Karbala, they bombed the haram of Imam Hussein today. Many bombs blew at the same time. What is wrong if people go and they remember their Imam? The world doesn't like it. They don't want you to remember the truth. So they put bombs in holy shrines. In places of respect, where people should be respecting each other's religion. You're not even allowed to respect your own religion. You're asked to bow to the occasions, to other people's whims, when we want to follow the truth. That's the world. Today in Iraq, hundreds of children and women have been killed, as we speak tonight. That the Shahada of Imam Hussein lives alive, it's alive. They say the noise was loud, but people's fervor for Imam Hussein was so loud, they didn't care. They didn't care if they have to die. Yazid and Muawiyah tried to stop. Saddam did it for 3 decades to stop the Shia. They went to Sadr city and they killed the Shia and buried them underground. Buried them! But he lost anyway. These people don't get the message. You can't stop the love of Ahlul Bayt in the world. Don't you get it? You can't. The revolution of Karbala is too powerful. It will shatter the most powerful institutions. People don't understand that. These 100 youths, 72 members who were fighting were extraordinary fighters. Allah has placed them there as a revolution forever, to silence the media of the Banu Umayyah forever. They start burning the tents. And the women and children start running outside. Bibi Zainab alayhi salam sees a broken sword. She picks it up because she needs to guard herself now. Imam Zainul Abidin is on his bed. He witnesses his father's martyrdom from the bed. They say while he was lying, he pulled the curtain of the tent and he sees his father's head on a spear. And Imam Zainul Abidin says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." That our Imam now has to suffer and struggle. Historians say that when Imam Zainul Abidin in Medina used to walk on the street, and he would pass near the butchery, the butchers would close the window. Because if Imam saw that meat being chopped, he remembered Karbala. Every time Imam was given water, he would think and he would cry and remember his event in Karbala. This was the tragedy of such a high order that we will keep this tragedy in our souls forever. Forever. Imam Zainul Abidin is lying in his bed and it light the fire on his tent. And now the fumes are collecting inside this tent and Imam is dragged out, pulled out. In the state of sickness, he's dragged outside under the sky. All the bodies are lying there. No one wants to bury the bodies of the shuhada. They just want the heads. Imam Hussein, before when he arrived in Karbala, he went to the people known as the Banu Asad, who were the people of that village. He said, "Some great tragedy is going to take place shortly. Great tragedy. We are madhloom." He bought the land, you know. That land where he became shaheed, Imam Hussein bought that land from the owner. Even to that perfection, the shahada does not take place on anybody else's land. And Imam goes to the people of Banu Asad. He says, "I have a wish after my death. That when you see our bodies lying there, can you do us a favor? And dig big holes and can you put it inside, please?" He said, "If you find that difficult, then have your children come near our bodies and let them play with the sand and put it on top of us, so that we will be covered. We are madhloom. A human body, when it dies, has every right to be buried, not the blessed Imam and his companions." So they start burning the tents. The women start running outside. And tonight's night is a very sad night. It is the beginning of the revolution. In our hearts, when we cry, we should say, "Yes, this is a revolution. And I'm going to rise to the occasion. My Imam, I was not there. Bi abi anta wa ummi ya ibn Rasulillah. Bi abi anta wa ummi. My parents and I be sacrificed for you, Imam. I wasn't there, Imam. But I'm here now. And I promise you, for this sacrifice that you've given, you have shown me haq from batil. I will follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will keep away from lying. I will keep away from cheating. I will make sure I observe the laws of Allah to make the value of your sacrifice stand up on the Day of Judgment, because it is guaranteed it's standing up. I am the loser who doesn't take it." You find the children are running outside. Bibi Zainab is running around trying to gather these children, the orphans, to bring them back into some order. Historians say one child runs away and there was an observer in Karbala. He stops him and says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to Najaf. Show me where is Najaf." He says, "Why Najaf?" He says, "I want to go to my grandfather to complain about this event." But Imam Ali was gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is among the patient ones. Inna Allah ma'as-sabirin. that from the generation of Hazrat Ismail, when he's given the news with his father that Allah has to sacrifice him, he says, Satajiduni inshallah min as-sabiri. Inshallah, Allah will find me among those who are the patient ones. These are the patient ones. So Bibi Zainab alayhi salam is collecting the children, and the men come from the army and they start pulling on their garbs, on their headscarves. Historians say that they wanted to abuse these women by exposing them, because the Banu Hashim were known to be very pure. And they were rounded together, water was not given to them, and chains were put upon them, and all the tents were burned, and they took all the heads, put it on spears, and started preparing themselves. They say the entire evening, from the day of Ashura till the following morning, they were not moving, they were just standing in the desert, because the enemy was busy burying their dead ones. And they were hungry and thirsty. Allah, Allah. Then they were pulled. And now the caravan moves towards Kufa. And the caravan is going towards Kufa. They're asked to walk from Karbala to Kufa. They ride their horses jubilant. And what was happening in Kufa? This is the media machinery at work. That the people of Kufa had celebrated. They had all types of celebrations. Music was their celebration, like some great event. Hujjaj, who had gone for Hajj, were returning, good people, and they said, what is the celebration for? They said, don't you know? We have killed the messenger's family. And people are happy. Can you imagine? With pride, they say that. And people started to cry when the caravan started approaching. People started seeing the faces and the orphans of the messenger's family. For the first time, the revolution is starting now. And they started looking, and Bibi Zainab alayhi salam stopped them, said, stop, what are you all making noise? Wait. Where were you when Imam was calling you? What were you doing when you were asked to stand and rise? Now the mission starts, and you find that the spokeswoman for this entire revolution was Zainab alayhi salam. She was the spokeswoman. She rose to the occasion and she challenged even the kings and says to them, when she goes to Damascus and stands in front of Yazid, Yazid would not see them for hours. They say they arrived in Damascus, 7 adhans they heard before they reached the palace of Yazid. Yazid was busy playing chess and getting drunk. While the family members of the messenger were being looked at and taunted in public. When Zainab alayhi salam sees Yazid, she addresses him as Yabna Tulaqi, O you son of a freed slave. What have you to do in this position? Daring. And Yazid was stupefied. He sees the boldness of Bibi Zainab alayhi salam, for she was the embodiment of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Unafraid of anybody. Speak the truth, even if your life is on the line. But while they were in Kufa, Ibn Ziyad sits on his throne, passing judgment, happy that he has done what he has done. And Imam Zain al-Abidin comes in front, and he's in chains, and he says, what is your name? He says, Ali. He says, didn't Allah kill Ali? And Imam Zain al-Abidin says, Allah does not kill, you killed. And they have a conversation at that time, and Ibn Ziyad goes into a rage. He goes into a rage. And he says, kill him. And Bibi Zainab jumps on Imam Zain al-Abidin, holding him. She says, if you're going to kill him, then kill me too. But it was tradition and custom in public that a woman is usually not abused in public. But these people wanted even to break that. But I find most disheartening, Zayd bin Arqam, who was a very old companion of the messenger, was sitting there watching this debacle. The head of Imam Hussein was brought on a tray, and it was sitting next to Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad takes his stick and starts playing with the lips of our Imam. The same lips. Zayd stands up and says, you rotten person.
You dare touch those lips. I witness with my eyes. The messenger kissing them. I witness with my eyes the messenger hugging it. I witness with my eyes the pleasure the messenger had with this face. Don't touch it this way. Ibn Ziyad looks at him and says, it is a good thing you're an old man, otherwise I would have killed you right now. Zayd bin Arqam stands up and he curses Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. He says, you and your father, la'nat of Allah upon you, and he walks out. They say Ibn Ziyad sent his spies and had Zayd bin Arqam killed. This was the start now. So they take the bodies. They find the people of Kufa rising to the occasion. Their hearts are bubbling. They are feeling the pain now. Now we see what's going on. The machinery of the Bani Umayyah is showing its real fangs now. It was hiding under the garb of religion. Now we see who is the treacherous one. It's clear now. So Ibn Ziyad realizes that if he doesn't move the bodies out quickly, the heads out quickly, and take them back to Damascus to his caliph, he's going to have a mutiny in Kufa. And now they take them on the roads. They think with their pride and arrogance that they can display. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to conclude very shortly because there's a lot to say in history what happened. We need to know this important facts. Some very critical facts. That when Imam Zainul Abidin arrives in Damascus, the machinery had played a poisonous role in the minds of the so-called Muslims who had become Muslims. They were victims, these Muslims. They were good people, many of them, but they were victimized by the media machinery of the Banu Umayyah. That when Imam is standing there in chains, disheveled, tired, humbled, and a man comes to him and says, good, we killed you. We killed your father. Good. This is in Bazar-e-Sham. And Imam Zainul Abidin looks at him and says, do you know who we are? Be patient, man. You will know. Then the adhan started. Adhan started. Allahu Akbar. When he came to Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Imam Zainul Abidin looks at the man and says, who is he? He says, he's the messenger. He says, have you heard in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبْ عَنْكُمَ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. He said, yes. Imam said, that's us. He says, have you heard the message in the Quran say, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. He says, yes. He said, that is us. This is us. They said, the man became so sad to know that he was taunting the grandson of the messenger. He took his turban and threw it on the floor and started to cry and put his face on the ground. He says, oh son of the messenger, your family is superior to all the families on earth. Put your foot on my face and I seek your forgiveness. That by the time Imam reaches inside the palace, he had turned so many hearts towards him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that this is the message of Islam that we need to tell the world, this atrocity committed, that Imam Zainul Abidin, after 1 year of enslavement and imprisonment, when the chains were broken from him, Yazid says, go now. Imam says, do you allow me to climb up these pieces of wood? And Imam climbs up the pieces of wood which becomes a mimbar. And he says to the people, the sifat of Ahlul Bayt. And people started to cry. And this is why we are standing on this podium. We will continue to stand and we will continue to tell the world, because the root and soul of Islam lies in this revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. Ala la'natullahi al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. صلوات الله محمد وآل محمد. In these times of difficulty, my brothers, we need to hold on to our unity, our brotherhood, our love, our compassion, that our brothers who have passed away in
in Karbala and those who are being killed everywhere because they want to proclaim the truth. We need to pray for our own security and for their security and for our growth in this society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many du'as to read. I'd like us all to join me in this du'a maqbool, which is asking Allah to make it easy for us and to acknowledge the Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد إلهي يا خصيص صفاتك وبعز جلالك وبعظمة أسمائك وبعصمة أنبيائك وبنور أوليائك وبدم شهدائك وبدعاء صلحائك وبمناجاة فقرائك اللهم إني أسألك زيادة في العلم وصحة في الجسم وبركة في الرزق وطولا في العمر وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ونجاة من النار ودخولا في الجنة وعافية من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. إلهي أعمالنا قليل وحاجتنا كبير وأنت عالم بصير ربي مصني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين اللهم بحق محمد وأنت المحمود وبحق علي وأنت الأعلى وبحق فاطمة وأنت فاطر السماوات والأرض وبحق الحسن وأنت المحسن وبحق الحسين وأنت قديم الإحسان وبحق الحسين وأنت قديم الإحسان وبحق تسعة المعصومين من ذرية الحسين فاستجب دعائي فاستجب دعائي
O Allah, reply to our prayers.
فاستجب دعائي وقضي حاجتي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين صلوات على محمد وآل محمد